We have a program here at FBC. It runs through the school year. It's called Center Shot. And it's a program that involves children and teenagers in learning bow and arrow, archery. And they come on Monday evenings, and you'll be hearing more about that in the days ahead. But we have top-notch bows and arrows, equipment, targets, and so on in the gymnasium. And as these children come and learn archery, they have a goal. They have a goal to take that bow and that arrow and hit a bullseye. And as they practice, they try to get a high score. There are rings on a target. You've seen that, and there are certain points for each ring, and the more points, for the closer they get to the bullseye, and points for the bullseye, right? And they spend hours shooting at that target, so that when they go to, there's a national competition down in Louisville, and we had some of our kids go to that this year and did very well at the national tournament. Hundreds of kids all shooting at a target to try to win a prize, to get a high score. That's their goal. Now, when I shoot bow, my goal is to get a deer. So I'll shoot at a target, and I'll spend hours shooting at a target so that if or when I ever see a deer, I'll be able to harvest that deer, right? As leaders in our archery program with our teens in Center Shot, they have a goal, yes, to teach the children and youth to do their very best in archery, but we also have a goal to see them come to Jesus and to grow in their faith. Goals are important. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. If you don't have a goal, it's meaningless. When I was a kid, I had a bow and arrow, and I don't know if I was supposed to do this, so Mom and Dad don't listen, but I would go out behind the house. We had a field behind the house, and I would just pull back that arrow, and I would just ping, and let that arrow go as far as it could go. And I thought, wow, that's cool, you know, and I'd get another one, ping, and just as far, see how far that thing could go. But you know, after you lose a few arrows in the weeds, And you see that it kind of goes the same height every time, the same distance and everything. It gets really boring after a while. But you have a goal. And I'll tell you what, it takes hours and hours to perfect that because there's simply a goal. Did you know that God has given you and me goals for our walk with Him? 2 Corinthians 5:9, you've heard me preach on that before, and we refer back to that once in a while. So we make it our goal to please Him. How much more clear do you want it? God has given you and me a goal is to please Him. He's also says that we're to, in 2 Peter chapter 3:18, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to grow. He has given goals to the church. You think of Matthew 28:19-20, right? That we're to go as you are going throughout your life and into this world, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, disciples of all nations. Everywhere we go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our goal is to see people come to Jesus, to grow, to get baptized, to become a part of the church, to grow in their faith and be a disciple of Lord Jesus that goes out and tell others, right? In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, it says, Him we proclaim, Paul is writing, he says, Him we proclaimed, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil. He works very hard by the power of Christ working in him to present everyone mature in Christ. That's what we ought to be doing as a church, giving all of our energy as his energy works in us to bring people to Jesus, to see them, to be sharing our faith, to be see people come to Jesus so that they then would be baptized, that they would become a part of the church, that they would grow in their faith, that they would go out, and that we would see more disciples coming to Jesus so that they would go out and do the same. See, God has given us clear goals in his word. And that should not just be a pastor's goal. That should be your goal and mine, as well as mine. I don't know about you, but that's my desire. And that's my goal as for this church, for my life and for this church, that we would see people coming to Jesus. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, we got to pray about it, right? We've got to be faithful in our prayers that we would see that happen. I hope you pray about that faithfully, to see people come to Jesus. Isn't it awesome when, I mean, what happens when someone gets baptized here at FBC? Amen. You know, it's a testimony that they have trusted Christ as Savior, and they want everybody to know that. We get excited about that, right? And that ought to be happening faithfully and regularly. And what that takes is you and me being faithful to go out and to share that with others, to show Jesus as indispensable to our community and beyond. If you're not already there, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And here we're going to see that God elaborates or establishes and then elaborates on his goal for you. And there's various aspects of this goal, but we sang about it just a moment ago. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Our goal is to be focused on him, right? And we're going to see this elaborated upon and developed in this text here today. Paul is writing. We have verses that we looked at last week. We start here at verse 12. Paul is writing and he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press onward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is God wants you becoming like Jesus. And I specifically use the word becoming, because we will not become like Jesus until the day we go home to be with him or until he comes to take us home, right? So we are in the process of becoming like Jesus, has the idea of growth. Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. He is at work through the circumstances of your life to make you more like Jesus, to conform you to the likeness of his son. So as we look at this passage, I want to encourage you with some essentials. Essentials of becoming like Jesus as we look at the text here. And the first one is rejoice in your security. I get concerned about those who have trusted Christ as Savior wondering about whether they are really saved or whether they could lose their salvation. And let me tell you, if you are a child of God, if you mess up, he's not going to kick you out of the family any more than someone who is adopted into the family who messes up. They don't get, some of you, and I look out and I see some who have adopted children. And I know you. And you wouldn't do that, would you? You adopt a child into your family, and guess what? They are your children. And God, when you come to Jesus, he adopts you into the family. And you are a child of God. You're a child of God. There's security in that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, God says, in verses 3 to 5, you can jot that down. It's not in your notes there. That, I love that passage because he says that your salvation is an inheritance that can never spoil or fade away, kept in heaven for you, not by you. All right? So you rejoice in your security. You are secure as a member of the family if you are a member of the family. If you have never trusted Jesus as Savior, you can't claim the promise of security. So that is a point of evaluation. Are you certain of your salvation? Have you become a child of God? Have you acknowledged that your sin separates you from a holy God and believe that sin separates you from a holy God and that there's nothing that you can do to earn salvation so as to stand before a holy God? But you believe that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again to pay the debt that you could never pay. And you ask him to become your Savior. You say, you know, I've sinned, and I know that I don't deserve salvation. I can't earn salvation. I need a Savior, and I believe that Savior is Jesus, who died and rose again, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and I ask you to come into my life to save me. And at that moment, you are a child of God. You've been born again into the family of God. If you have never done that, I just encourage you to come to Jesus today. We want to help you with that. If you have questions about that, don't go another day without making certain of your salvation. But if you have done that, I want you to rejoice. I want to encourage you to rejoice in your security. He alludes to this here in verses 12 and 13 of the first part. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this. Brothers, I do not consider myself that I have made it my own." You know, he's not saying, I'm not saved and I'm working toward that. He's saying, I have been born as a child of God, and I'm certain of that, and I understand that I need to grow, but I am a child of God, and I am secure in that. Paul's saying here that he wants to fulfill the reason for which Jesus saves him. He says there in the second part of verse 12, he presses on to make it his own because Christ Jesus has made him, Paul, his own. He wants to fulfill the reason for which he was saved. He wanted to fill the position that he was drafted to fill. Now think about this. If there was a football team, or any team for that matter, that drafted as they say, first-round draft choice, you know, a really good player, and they say, we're going to give you a bonus of $1 million, and then we're going to pay you $5 million a year to play this game. And now it's like even more than that. And he says, yeah, sign me up. So he signs and becomes a member of the team. And so then he says, you know what? Football's a rough game, but so I'll tell you what, I really don't want to play, because I might get hurt. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit the bench. I'll be the water boy. But I appreciate you signing me to the team. I appreciate you're going to pay me. But I don't want to get hurt, so I'm not going to play. That would not make the management happy. Right? In fact, somewhere I would think that contracts that are signed like that need to have some kind of caveat that, hey, if we're going to sign you up, you got to play. And if you don't play, you don't get paid. Right? Isn't that what you want as a child of God? As you come to Jesus for your salvation, to fulfill the reason for which Jesus saved you. Paul says, brothers, verse 13, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Again, that he has already obtained it. It's the strongest possible way that he could say that though he was saved, he wasn't perfect. He isn't all that he ought to be, but he is growing. So salvation, Kenneth Wiest, a commentator works with the Greek a lot, Greek language, he says, salvation is a past completed process with present results. You come to Jesus, past completed, secure, but you continue to grow as a child of God. And that's what we're talking about. I was hired to do a job. The job's not done yet, but I'm not going to give up until the job's done. That's the thought here. I've become a child of God. I have not arrived yet, and I'm not going to give up until Jesus comes to take me to be with him. Again, security in your salvation. Rejoice in your security. That's what Paul's saying here. I need to keep on growing in order to realize my potential until I reach maturity. So here's the second essential, and that is to commit to grow. Commit to grow. I am secure. And I'll tell you what, if you don't understand and know the security, you will not grow the way God wants you to grow. It will stunt your growth. There are churches that believe and teach, and people that believe and teach, that you can lose your salvation. If you're truly saved, you can't. Now, that's not to say, okay, well, I can go out and do anything I want, you know. No, it's if you're truly saved, you are going to desire to fulfill the reason for which God saved you. A true believer is going to commit to grow, to mature, realizing you haven't arrived, you haven't reached maturity. And again, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this, or I'm already perfect. Verse 13, first phrase. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I have not obtained Christ-likeness yet. Go back to the end of verse 8. He's talking about that in order that I may gain Christ, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him. Remember, we talked about a right goal last week. That I may know him, the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. And Paul is here in verse 12 and 13 at the first phrase, he's saying, I haven't fully realized that yet. He says, I want to know him. I want to have fellowship with him. I want to be like him, but I haven't arrived yet. But he committed to grow. He hadn't fully gained Christ or fully divested himself of any personal righteousness. He understood that there were things in his life that needed to change. But he was willing, as God would expose his heart and put his thumb on an area in his life, that, you know what, I got to keep growing. I can't stop. God has given me a goal. And what's that goal? To become like Jesus. And I think Paul was expressing a humility here, right? How arrogant for anyone to say, I've arrived, or I don't have to really work at my walk with Jesus because I'm pretty good. You know, how arrogant for any of us to say that. Now, hopefully, if you have been saved, been a child of God for any length of time, that you've seen areas where you've grown, right? Where you've changed, you're becoming more like Jesus. You need to commit to grow. And here in this passage, Paul is saying, I haven't arrived, but I'm committing to grow. Here's another essential. And know that your goal is to become like Jesus. Have an accurate view of your goal. Think of athletes. And for some reason, this past Olympics, it just seemed to be impressed upon me. The Winter Olympics, and you saw the Olympians at the top of the ski hill. And they would close their eyes, and they would bob their heads and go back and forth, and they were envisioning where they were going and how they were going to reach their goal. And that's really big in athletics right now, to envision what you're going to be doing and what you're going to be accomplishing. Had a clear view of where they were going and how they were going to get there. That's what we need as believers, right? I fear, and I think there are times where I've been there, you know, to think, well, you know, just kind of float along, you know. As a Christian, I'm just going to do the best I can, and I'll go to church and I'll listen to the pastor, and if I have time, I might read my Bible once in a while, but I'll make it. All right. You know, you look at Paul's testimony here, and you think, man, how much more rich life would be to be committed to that goal of becoming more like Jesus, to know exactly what that is, know what is expected, to know where you are headed, to have direction and purpose. There are a lot of people around you in life, and maybe some here, you don't have direction and purpose. And what happens when you get to the end of life if you don't have direction or purpose? Is that all there is? Is this it? But true fulfillment is found in Jesus. Look at verse 12. Second part, Paul says, "But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own." He's saying, I press on for the purpose for which Jesus saved me. That's to become like Jesus. That the righteousness that is by faith in verse 9 is found in Jesus, not a righteousness of his own, but a righteousness that comes to God that depends upon faith. That he might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship or to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And he says, look at verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing to the goal. Listen to this. The same word is used in verse 12 as it used in verse 14 of pressing on. Verse 12b, the second part of 12, verse 12. I press on to make it my own. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal. It's the same word. Interestingly, it's the same word that's used in verse 8. Listen to this. For Paul persecuting the church. Same word. Persecution. Pressing on. What's your point? Or what's the point here? The same zeal that Paul used to persecute the church was the same zeal that he used to become like Jesus. Is that your heart? To have that zeal for Christ that God wants for you? Pressing on. For the high calling of God. This is a calling which is from heaven, that we need to adopt as our own. Not a calling like in a life career or just getting through life, but it's a calling for eternity. And again, I think clear goals are essential in life. And as a believer, we are so blessed to have God's word to give us, we have the ultimate goal to become like Jesus, right? To make it our goal to please him as we become like Jesus. But there are other things that in our walk with the Lord that are means to the end of pleasing God. How about I need to grow in my quiet time. I need to grow in spending time with God in his word and prayer. And as he does that, he might point out that you need to make it a goal to overcome your anger or worry or fear or a life-dominating sin the world calls addictions. You may have a goal to, I want to overcome this drugs, addiction to alcohol, sexuality, pornography. I know those things don't please God, and I need to get into the Word of God to find out how I can overcome these things that hold me back. The sin, as Hebrews chapter 12 says, that so easily beset me. And I want to grow because I know those things are like Jesus. Jesus wasn't involved in those kinds of things. Anger, worry, fear, gluttony, addictions. Those kinds of things, those things hold me back from being like Jesus. How about I need to grow in the area of being a godly spouse? Are you a godly spouse, husband, wife? Does your spouse enjoy living with you, spending time with you? Or maybe you need to grow in that area. And so then you get into the Word and find out, what does God say about what I need to do? And again, it's the temptation that says, well, I'd be a better spouse if she were, he were a better spouse. No, you know, no. I want to grow to be the spouse that God wants me to be. I want to grow to be the father that God wants me to be, or the mother that God wants me to be. I'm going to get into the Word to discover how he wants me to do that. I need to grow in becoming a hilarious giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know. We're to be faithful in our giving. I want to grow in that area. I need to get into the Word to find out what God has to say about those kinds of things. I want to grow to be more like Jesus. And you have that clear understanding of your goal, to become like him. And so that's the ultimate goal. And so you look at other areas of your life to say, you know what? I need to change. I need to grow in this area, and so you get into the Word and you study the Word and you start growing in that area. And lo and behold, there's another area you realize I need to grow. And in all of that, you say, you know what? I want to grow to be a witness and a testimony for Christ, so that I can tell others about Jesus, to see them come to faith in Jesus, to see them get baptized, to see them become a part of the church, to grow in their faith, that they would go out and do the same. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here's another essential, and that is forget your past. We talked about this last week. Forget your past completely. Now, it's in the sense of you forget the things that hinder you from reaching your goal, right? Put them behind you. That would include forgetting your laurels, the good things that you've done. Remember, Paul talked about all of the great things that he did. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, all those things, back in verse 4, 5, and 6. So you forget those laurels, but you also forget your losses. In other words, the sins that hold you back, that you repent of those, you turn away from those, and focus on. You know, just thinking of our children and youth that are in center shot. You know, if they get distracted, you know, they're not going to reach their goal. There are a lot of things in life that can distract you from the goal of living to the glory of God, becoming like Jesus. And some of those things are the things, look how great I was, or look how bad I was. I'm just so bad, there's no way that Jesus would ever want me. That's a lie. Because no one has arrived. There's no one who does good. There's not even one. That's why we need a Savior. So forget your past. Another essential is to put forth passionate effort. He says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained. Now, this is that word there is a simple word that says that I've latched a hold of something. I've taken a hold of it. It would be like, I walk back here and I latch a hold of this, okay? Not that I've obtained it, not that I've arrived, but the text goes on, or am I already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Verse, that word, I press on, is a more complex word. It's an expanded word from just taking something to seizing it. I'm pressing on. It's like a foot. It's the difference between touch football or flag football and tackle. All right? In touch football, somebody gets the ball and you run up and you tag them and they're down. Right? Or flag football, you run up and you grab the flag and they're down. Play stops. In tackle football, that's the first part of verse 12. Second part of verse 12 is, I press on. It's like a football player who's playing tackle where he grabs hold and he takes something down. That's what you have in that word. That's where I get the idea of putting forth passionate effort. It's like a hound dog. You know, I don't know, some of you may have hound dogs. I don't know. But, you know, a hound dog is just going after it. Got to find whatever it is they're looking for. You know, that coon, you know. Oh, and trees the coon and got to pull it and take it down. He wants to get me, let me at it. That's what you have in this word. I press on. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. And I have some pictures here of what this verse is talking about. The straining, it's going toward the finish line. And when you see these runners, they're putting forth all kinds of effort to reach the goal of winning the race. Every fiber of their being, that all their muscles, even in their face, their lungs, their internal organs are all pumping away to help reach the goal of winning the race. I press on. That's the word. That's the idea here. Toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To pursue, to bear down upon the goal of becoming like Jesus. It has the idea of intensity. Now again, I just want to make it clear. I'm not talking about your own personal effort. Right? It's not like, oh, I gotta do all of this in my own power and my own strength. Because you can't. We've already made that clear last week. You can't do it. We're not talking about a faith of your own to where you just womp up some good feelings about, man, I'll tell you, I heard that pastor preach Sunday, and I'm gonna really work hard at this. You can't do it apart from the power of God. And that's why at every moment, even the idea of having this kind of an attitude, this kind of spirit, is to say, you know what? God, I can't do it. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. I need you. I need you. Did you think about the songs and hymns that we sang, that the worship team led us in, the praise team led us? They were prayers. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Did you think about that? That's a prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Why do we want the Holy Spirit here? Why do we want the Holy Spirit working in us? Because we need him. We can't do it, right? We need him. And we talked about this a couple months ago probably in chapter 2. It's God who works in us both to will and to do. And you may be sitting here and say, I just don't have that kind of passion. Pray about it. God, give me a passion to become like Jesus. That I might have that spirit that I would press on. Our other point is, nobody's arrived, right? Nobody's arrived. Who here can say, I have absolute passion to become more like Jesus? Not I. I don't. That's another prayer, right? God, give me that passion. And just think of the impact that FBC would have on a community if we would just say, God, help me to grow in my passion for Jesus. Help me that as I go through my day, that others would see you in me, that you would increase and I would decrease. What an awesome prayer that we ought to be praying. So that as you're going through your day, you, more and more you're thinking about Jesus and becoming like Jesus and telling others about Jesus, that praying that God, that others would see Jesus in you. And as you have opportunity, God, help me to say something about Jesus and tell others. Just yesterday, I was jogging in the park. And I mean jogging, okay? I'm not a runner. I just get out there and do the best I can, right? And there was a guy ahead of me. And I thought, I'm going to try to catch him. Because he appeared to be jogging slower than I. And lo and behold, toward the end of the course, I caught him. We still had a ways to go, and I, hey, how you doing? And he said, hey, I'm doing pretty good, you know. And he had already gone 6 miles. I wasn't going that far. No wonder I caught him. And he says, I'm just cooling down. I said, oh, great, okay. And we started talking. We had a really good talk, and he asked me what I did. Well, the cat's out of the bag. You know, somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a pastor, we had a good conversation about that. And while we were jogging, I said, hey, we introduced ourselves, and I was heading home. And I just said, hey, pastor over here, he already knew that. And I said, I'll invite you to church sometime. I'd love to see you come out to church. I was jogging, for Pete's sake. You know, I was just jogging in the park, right? And I thought, here's an opportunity. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Look what I did. I'm just saying, that's, and there are times when I haven't done that when I could have and should have. I'm just giving you as an example of how you can do that. And just as an effort of reaching out and saying, hey, come to our church. Sunday morning, 10:30 Sunday morning, we have a great time. And we learn about God. We study the word. We sing wonderful music. We praise God, however that comes out. But as we as a church, we commit ourselves, you know what? I want to become more like Jesus. And I want others to know him like I know him. To reach out and it takes an intentionality in order to do that. So that's our next essential, final essential for today, and that is be intentional. Be intentional. Second part of verse 13, Paul says, this one thing I do. That's intentionality. One thing I do. To be free from the encumbrances. To be aggressive in reaching a goal of to become like Jesus. To be single-minded. I want to be like Jesus. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Temptation is to live the Christian life without goals. Kind of a come what may attitude. But I think here today we've learned, you know what? And I hope that you'll make a commitment in your heart this morning and say, you know what? I now have clear direction. I want to become like Jesus. So don't give up pressing on to maturity. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, we all know people who love their hobbies. Maybe baseball, football, soccer, volleyball, basketball, hunting, fishing, skiing, sewing, quilting, gardening, woodworking, bird watching, reading. It goes on and on, right? We know people have hobbies. All of us probably have some kind of a hobby or another. Now, I'm not preaching against hobbies, but we know, and you know, some people who, like, that's all they ever thought about, you know. I mean, when they go to work, they talk about it at work. And the only reason they're working is so that they can make money to support their hobby. They are just consumed with their hobby, right? I don't want to, I'm not reducing our walk with Jesus down to a hobby. But wouldn't it be awesome if we would say, you know what? That's what I need to do in relationship to Jesus. That I would live for Jesus. That I would walk with him, talk with him, listen to him through his word and put into practice what he has for me to do. That I would be aware of his presence, be more aware of his presence in my life every moment of the day. There's no one who has arrived. There's no one here who could say, that's the way I am. But that we would all be growing more and more with that kind of a spirit, that kind of an attitude. Asking God to help us all along the way. And again, as you do that, I'll tell you what, you're going to make an impact for Jesus. People are going to see Jesus in you. And lo and behold, somewhere along the line, someone's going to say, I want what you have. And you'll have the opportunity to see them come to Jesus in true salvation. And you'll see them get baptized. You'll see them become a part of the church, growing in their faith to be a witness and a testimony to others who will do just the same thing. Let's ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we need you. We have learned that our goal is to become like you, to becoming like you. Because we have not, will not arrive until you come to take us home. But Father, you've told us, as we talked about last week and we learned from Pastor Nate in the Bible study hour last week, that we don't do all good things to appease the wrath of a holy God. We can't, because we could never appease your wrath, your holy, approach you in holiness. But in coming to Jesus, surrendering to you, we become your representatives. May we be faithful image bearers, that others would see you in us. I pray, Father, that would be our heart's goal in this life, to grow in the faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to become more like him to your glory. As we continue with heads bowed and eyes closed, I encourage you. We've been praying prayers and song. As we continue in prayer, ask God's help. If there's anyone here, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you say, I want to surrender to Jesus today. That you would talk with me. I'll be down front here till the service is over, and then I'll be in the back. Talk with me about this. We have connection cards. Write that down on the connection card. But in your heart right now, pray, God, help me to be growing. Help me to be faithful. And help me to be a witness. May we commit ourselves as a church and ministry to show Christ as indispensable to the world and community around us.